If you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. The day science begins to study non-physical phenomena, it will make more progress in one decade than in all the previous centuries of its existence. Nikola Tesla.
Welcome to the Frequency Shifter Show. I'm your host, Corinne Summers, founder of Artisan Pharmacy. In this show, we explore ways to raise the frequency of ourselves, one another, and our planet. We're digging deep into all things metaphysical, from what is frequency to the power of sound, the Schumann resonance, our DNA, Reiki, the energy of water, and beyond, all to shift our minds and bodies back into alignment with richer states of connection, elevated awareness, and maximum human potential. And we're bringing on the global experts and thought leaders to share their wisdom as they let us pick their brains around all these juicy, mysterious topics.
First of all, I don't know who Ricky is and metaphysical. Schumann's Renaissance? I don't even know. What are you talking about? Wait a minute. I need us to take a step back and calm down. What are we even talking about here?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention, I have a co-host. The universe insisted. What can I say? This is Alex Terranova, founder of Dream Mason. He's sort of a newbie to some of this frequency stuff, and he's going to help keep everything balanced, grounded, and relatable.
So this show isn't just for the experts to nerd out on all things metaphysical, but it's an open welcome space for everyone to explore the mysteries of the universe and raise our frequencies together.
Hi, and welcome to the Frequency Shifter Show. Today we have with us someone who is on their 929th incarnation here on Earth, Ian Mew. So he's a really well-seasoned, you would say, manifestation and abundance master. He talks a lot about his spiritual awakening and gives us different mindset tips. Inspiring guy.
I loved the part where he tells us about how his hand, or one of his arms, has like healing powers. Not both of his arms, though. Like one of his arms has made a difference for other people, has changed other people's lives. And, you know, you're a Reiki master. So I think like a lot of that made a lot more sense to you, like what he's doing. But what he shared, which is really cool, is this idea that we, you know, we all have these abilities. And they've come out in him in ways that he didn't plan or he wasn't looking for this. And I think his story and his journey opens up possibility for a lot of us. We also dive into the Akashic Records, which is pretty interesting, which we haven't done a lot of on this show before. The other thing too is he's also a regular guy. He's not necessarily out there doing this work for money or for professionally. He's out there doing this work because it matters to him and it's enjoyable, but he also has a whole separate career, which I think is really fun. A lot of people that we bring on, they spend all their time in the work that we talk about here, and he has kind of a whole nother life to him.
Yeah, that is one of the most interesting things about him and this conversation. And I do agree that the energy style that he talks about having just, you know, kind of naturally discovered seems a lot like Reiki and some of the other energy healing techniques. So dig into the episode and check it out.
This is so fun that you're here because, you know, like I said to you before we even started recording, you're one of the first people that have come on this podcast that your frequency shifterness, I don't think we've said that before. We're going to coin that. Your frequency shifterness not only is part of who you are and what you're about, but it's not actually like the business you do. You're not running around trying to sell your spirituality or your ability to heal or your ability to help people, which nothing wrong with all of us that are. It's just, you're just the first to be on this show that's not where you're coming from. So let's just talk about that because you don't describe yourself as a, you know, you don't have like the, I'm a healer or I'm, you know, a frequency shifter. I'm something. When you think of yourself, like, what do you think of yourself in the world as you bring all the parts of you together?
Wow. I just am. I don't even know how to answer that question, right? There are so many aspects of me, right, that only recently that I've fully come to terms with, right? Like it's, I think in our 3D world, people tend to, you know, put themselves in different silos. It's like I'm this or that, right? I feel like I am this and that and that and that and that. And it is okay that we're all of the above.
I love that response. It's such a guru response. I am a being. So that was beautiful. And it actually reminded me that in when you gave us some information about you before coming on the show, that you had mentioned that you're on your 929th incarnation here.
Wow, you remembered.
So how long have you been around? How do you know this? How are you? I'd love to hear more about how you're in touch with that idea and that part of yourself.
So I've been here for around 100,000 years. I was part of the second wave of the Arcturians that seeded this planet. I came upon this information years after my spiritual awakening at the end of 2009. And this is when I started talking to my ET family, or now I call them my star family. It was actually, I think 2 years after my awakening, you know, I was so hungry for spirituality, for God. And I was just reading so much, you know, like discovering, learning, meeting people. And suddenly these ETs started showing up and I didn't even know what was happening. I thought, wait, what's your relationship to God or to spirituality? And then later on, I realized, oh, we're all part of the same. You know, the same story. So in terms of how I learned that this is my 929th incarnation, it's through my Akashic record. You know, once you tap into it, you can actually start looking into, you know, where you came from, you know, why you're here. I'm here for a very specific mission for this lifetime. And if all goes well, I'm heading back to the Pleiades afterwards.
So I have to ask, because when somebody comes on and they're like, my ET family, what can you just describe the experience? Like, did they show up and you like their physical form? Was it more in your, just describe it for us.
Right. No, they, so I first started talking to them through channels. So I was at this event and I met this person by the name of Wendy Kennedy. And, you know, they described her as, you know, she's a channel for Pleiadians. I had no idea who Pleiadians were. And I didn't know what a channel was either, you know, but I was just very curious and I was fascinated. So I, you know, went up to her and said, hey, can I do a session with you? I don't know what this is. It's just for pure curiosity. So we did. We had this amazing session. I was talking to Pleiadians. And at the end of our session, the Pleiadian said, by the way, you're one of us. You don't need her to communicate to us. You know, you could just talk to us directly. And if you really need proof, we'll put something in the physical for you. And I was like, whoa. Okay, clearly this lady, you know, she wasn't here to, you know, just to like sell her service to me. Because if she did, she would not say something like this to me. Right? So yeah, that's you know, how that journey got started. But you know, I'm not clairvoyant. You know, I don't really see. And also with a lot of ETs, or again, star beings, they don't show up here because of the frequency level, the density. It's just, this is really, really hard. You know, like when you're a fourth density or fifth density being, you know, for you to come down to third density, it's just, you know, so typically they meet you halfway. And they're like, we'll go down to this level, you go up to this level, and then we can communicate.
You should just touch on that for us. How do you communicate? How do you go up to that level?
I don't know how I do it. Now I think, you know, one thing I realize is I'm clear cognizant and clear sentient. So I feel them, you know, every time I just say, when I set the intention to connect with, say, you know, star family or with my angelic team or angelic family, they just show up. I can feel it in my body. Like it's just like buzzing sensation. And then suddenly this frequency changes, right? And then And also I have these conversations, you know, when I was younger or, you know, when I was little, I just thought I was talking to myself in my head. And only recently I realized, oh, it's me communicating with my higher self and with these other, you know, beings. But the thing is, when you hear them in your head, it's your own voice, right? But something shifts because sometimes you're like, whoa, this is such a profound wisdom. Like, I didn't know I had that, right?
Yeah.
It is me because, again, we're all connected. We're all one. But at the same time, y'all, like, someone just stepped in. Sorry, continue.
No, I was going to ask, like, does it come on? You know, we've talked to a lot of people, a lot of different channelers and people that have had these experiences. And I'm just so fascinated in learning more about the different ways that it occurs. Does it happen more, like you just said, it as thoughts? Or does it ever take over when you're speaking, like, more as a channeled thing? Or is it always private? And is meditation involved? Or is it spontaneous, like you're chopping vegetables in your kitchen or something like that? Or is it sleep? Like, where, what are you doing at the time? And what mental state are you in when that, when they show up?
All different states. it doesn't have anything to do with meditation, at least not for me. And when I meditate, I try not to connect. You know, I just want to be in this place of stillness. But occasionally, you know, the past was like, okay, show me. Like the first time, you know, when I bought this book on channeling. I was like, maybe I'll try it, see if this is for me. And then I realized, okay, this is not for me. Like, it's great. These other people love the channel. I think I probably can, but this is not for me. And the first being I channeled was Lao Tzu. And that was really, because I was expecting, you know, Archangel Michael or something, right? And then this being showed up. I'm sorry?
That's a dark energy, isn't it?
No, Lao Tzu. No.
You know, I didn't hear who you said.
Oh, you know, one of the ancient Chinese philosophers, you know, like there's Confucius and there's Lao Tzu. Yeah, Lao Tzu. Lao Tzu is actually an ET as well. I mean, legend has it that the reason Lao Tzu means old child. Lao means old, Tzu means child. So legend has it that his mom carried him in her womb for 70 years. And then he was born. She gave birth to him. So when he came out an old man already. You know, if you see any of the drawings of Lao Tzu, she's got this really big
Benjamin
head. Really big head. Like, he actually looks, I mean, now, you know, I'm pretty familiar with the different, you know, ET groups. I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. He's not human. So.
What's it been like? Because you're in a professional, like, you run your life in a professional world, and then you have these pieces. Is this supportive of your life in kind of the 3D world that you live in?
Absolutely. I mean, this is pretty much how I live my life now. You know, even all my business meetings, inevitably always, you know, within 30 minutes, we start talking about spirituality or God. And if it doesn't go there, then I'm not interested in doing business with this person. Right. But for instance, you know, in terms of how it helps with my business. So I had a crypto investment group for 2 years. I founded that in 2009, exited in December of last year, right before the crash. And really it was my team, by that I mean my guides, started telling me I was getting messages saying, hey, it's time to cash out. And the time was like, wait, what do you mean? I don't want to cash out. Like, things are great and I want to just stay in and let it run, right? But then I was getting this very clear message, it's time to cash out. So then I was like, okay, well then let me check in with my higher self. I was like, okay, does it serve my highest good to check out? Like, I asked very specific questions, like by which month and then which week, and then the answer will come to me, right? So then the first time I didn't listen. So the first time I got a message was to cash out in November. And that was the best time to cash out, but it didn't happen. Cause right before, literally a day or 2 days before I was going to cash out, one of our assets just went astronomical. You know, it was just like shot up by, I don't know, 15,000, 20,000% in terms of ROI. And then, you know, of course my partners were like, Tian, are you sure you want to cash out? This is a signal. You know, all the other assets could, you know, do the same. And of course, FOMO kicked in for me. Yeah, there was a part of me that goes, well, maybe my higher self doesn't know anything about crypto or doesn't know about market, right? Because I didn't have any data point to tell me, like, they know or don't know. So I was like, you know what? Fine. I'm not going to cash out. I'll stay in. And literally a few days later, the market started crashing. And then it just kept crashing and crashing. And so I learned my lessons.
Like, and then everyone else had FOMO?
Right. But so then this was like early December, right? And I was like, okay, it's crashing now. I didn't cash out when I got this signal. I didn't listen. That's fine. Learn my lesson. So then I got clear again. I got quiet and I asked my higher self, does this serve my highest good to cash out this month? And the answer was yes. Right. And then I was like, okay, which week? So I was like, is it the last week? Is it the third week? Is it? So the answer was, yeah, you cash out the week of Christmas, right? That third week. I was like, okay. So then I just arbitrarily picked the date. I was like, the 21st, that's when I'm cashing out. Right. And literally the market kept crashing from like early December, all the way until, I think, until the 19th or the 20th. And then suddenly the market just rebounded on the 20th. It just starts shooting up. And so I cashed out on the 21st. It took me 2 or 3 days to cash out all my positions. And yeah, that was the only week where the market just went up, you know, to a pretty healthy place. And I think after maybe the 27th of December, it just started crashing again. And the rest is history, as you know. So again, it just... listening to your, you know, your higher self, and really, you know, no longer operating from just this, you know, my left brain, right? Just looking at data, looking at numbers, analyze, like study the charts, right? Like, is this how, like, no, sometimes they're just info will just come to you, right? Listen to that.
Interesting, actually, that you cashed out on the 21st. That was the date of the winter solstice that year.
That's actually why I picked
that. There's a lot of eclipse energy around there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you knew. I want to go back to something else you said earlier about, you mentioned the Akashic Records. Could you just tell us first, for anybody that, you know, doesn't know what the Akashic Records are, explain a little bit about that and tell us about your journey with going back into your past experiences and how you were able to do that.
So Akashic Records.
How you specifically learned or taught yourself how to do that.
Oh, I didn't teach myself. I work with various different Akashic readers. But so Akashic Records, as I understand it, is basically they're the records. It's basically records of every single event and every single thing in this universe throughout all time, you know, time and space, including, you know, what's happening right now. This is being recorded in the Akash, right? And there are numerous locations where the Akash is being recorded. One place is actually inside of our DNA. I'm really sorry. There's a garbage truck outside. So that's one place. Also, and there's another location I know that's inside of our planet, inside Earth. There's this, I record on these crystals, but it's not a place that humans can access. Also, you know, Akashic Records are you know, recorded on the, you know, in the fourth dimension or the astral planes, the astral realm. So that's really, you know, and it's not just for people. I mean, you can open Akashic Records for animals, for plants, for buildings, for places, you know. It just, again, everything is alive. Everything has consciousness, right? And so everything that happens is recorded. And also because, you know, since everything is happening simultaneously, right? For us in this reality, we experience this linear progression of time, right, that we call past, present, future. But in actuality, everything is happening simultaneously. And this is why you can access your future records, because that's already happened, or it's happening right now, you know. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah.
I misunderstood that. I thought that you were saying that you went back in years. You can, many people actually do teach themselves. I've been able to access mine through different, you know, some trainings that I've done with other, I'm a Reiki master as well. And so we've done some trainings together and worked with that, as well as read some books. But if you have anything to offer for those that might be looking to have someone read their Akashic Records, how did you find someone that you could trust to go down that journey with you?
I think they just show up. I think they just show up, you know, when you're ready, you know, you meet a certain person or sometimes, you know, someone will say, oh, I just had the most amazing reading. And this is, and if it suddenly resonates or just piques your interest, for me, I just follow my heart, right? Whenever I get excited about something or about someone, I just go, okay, let me check that out. Right. And again, you know, I it's something I also looked into. I was like, okay, do I want to learn this modality? And the answer was like, no, you don't need to. Don't spend, like, stay in your lane, right? Like, I already have many different lanes there. I have different superpowers and magic. It's like, you know, yes, you can spend time and learn this thing, but there's some other people, that's their thing. Let them do their thing. And you just really hone in on your magic more and just, you know, serve from that place.
Let's talk about how you incorporate all this. How do you do business differently with all of this information?
Ah, interesting. Okay. I'll start from the beginning. So I had my awakening back like end of 2009. At the time I was running a game studio. So I had a game studio for 17 years. I co-founded that in 2002, exited 2019. Always been in technology, you know, and I was actually an atheist prior to my awakening, right? I didn't believe in God or spirituality or anything, you know, anything of unseen, right? If I can't touch or smell or taste or, you know, see it, then it doesn't exist. That was my belief system. But I did experience a lot of supernatural phenomena growing up, you know, but I just didn't know what they were. And since I didn't believe in this other realm, right, and no one around me could tell me about them, I just thought, okay, maybe I imagined that, or maybe that was just a random event, right? But it's really after my awakening, I could look back and go, Oh, that's what that was. So then in terms of business, you know, I think the most important thing was that after my awakening, realized, you know, the only thing that's real is love. That's it. I mean, that's the only thing in this entire universe, right? And it's just about, okay, there's really just two forces, right? It's love, and, or at least, you know, on this level of reality, it's love and fear. Right. Even things we talk about, hate and separation, they all fall under the category of fear. Right. So, okay, well, when you do something, right, where does that come from? Does it come from a place of love, or does it come from a place of fear? Because if you look at how people conduct business, you know, today, unfortunately, because, you know, I see more and more people are awake, you know, they're awakening now, you know, it's less so than before, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, where, you know, in business, it's all about, you know, my winning at all expense, right? It's all about me making the money, right? It doesn't matter what I need to take, as long as it's legal. And, you know, some people don't even care about that, but some people are like, yeah, as long as it's legal, it doesn't have to be moral or ethical, you know, then that's how I'm going to make my money, right? But for me, once you realize, oh my God, this is, you know, the only thing that matters is love. And this is the only thing that's real. And also you start, you know, accessing these certain universal laws, for instance, the law of cause and effect, right? Or some people call it like the law of karma, right? And it just, you know, when you understand these things, you're like, okay, nobody gets away with anything, right? Not an action, not a word, not even a thought, because everything is just energy. Whatever you put out comes back to you, always, you know, 100%, right? So, and it's not that the universe is trying to punish you. The only thing the universe is doing, it's just balancing itself. So whenever you do something that throws off that balance, then something else has to happen, right? So then just for that alone, why would you ever cheat someone or do something bad, or just say, okay, well, I'm going to see what I can get away with. Yeah, maybe you get away with something this time, but something will come back later. And it's not always a one-to-one relationship, meaning say you cheated someone out of a business deal this lifetime or this time. Yeah, maybe, you know, you get screwed on a future business deal, or maybe you get into a car accident, or maybe something happens to you on your, you know, with your health. You know, there are different ways where this balance happens. It comes back to you. So again, you know, like now I kind of just see this world. I see all these golden threads, and I just see these like cause effect, right? Like the fact that all three of us here talking, this is an effect caused by something prior, I don't know what it was that caused us to be here, but also I know that whatever we're doing right now, we're causing something else down the road, right? For other people, for us. So
let's look at it from a, if you have to make a, I think this is great. I love what you're saying. If you have to make a decision in your business that might hurt your business right now, but you feel that it's the right decision.
Oh, right? That's all I do. So right now I only ask myself one question before, like, I walk into any situation. The only thing I ask myself is, does this serve my highest good? That's it, right? If the answer is yes, this serves my highest good, then I'll do it. So I'll give you an example. Say you're about to walk into this investment opportunity, okay? And you can ask, does this opportunity serve my highest good? And your highest self may say yes. But that's not the same thing as you're going to make money necessarily on this deal, right? Now, you can also ask yourself, higher self, would this investment deal make me money? And your higher self may say no. And suddenly you're like, wait, what's going on? If I'm not going to make money, or I may even lose money, why would this serve my highest good? Because again, life is not about making money, right? Yeah. It's just, we're here for different experiences. We're here for different lessons, for personal growth. So maybe in making this investment into this thing, you're going to learn something about you. You're going to acquire certain skill that's really going to set you up for these future deals, right? So yes, you may lose your money right now, but it serves your highest good. So again, like, that's the only question I ask myself now, like, before I commit to anything. And if it serves my highest good, then that's all that matters.
It reminds me a little bit of, Corinne, I know you want to jump in. It just reminds me a little bit of sometimes, like, we take a step back before we go forward. And I know, and I had a situation recently where it was like, wait, am I really going to do that? And I went, I feel like it's the right thing to do, but it was like steps backwards. And then what showed up on the other side of it was just, it felt like I was being rewarded. I don't believe that it's like so intertwined, like the universe was like, good job, and patted me on the head and wrote the reward. But I do think, had I made a different decision, then the dominoes or the cause and effect would have been different. And the thing that would have happened next might not have happened. Simply, like, I love that you put it in cause and effect terms. Corinne, I know you had something you wanted to jump in with.
Yeah, and then I just got caught up in the cause and effect thing, because I totally agree. You're right. It's all connected. And I like, I think everything is energy, right? And that can change very quickly when we shift our energy.
Yes.
Actually have an impact relatively quickly in how people are receiving us or perceiving us, how we're showing up in the world, and things like that. So that makes sense to me. I don't know exactly what I believe about the laws of karma, but I believe in universal laws, or how it's connected to, you know, what other lives we may have lived. But I definitely believe in universal laws and in holding our frequency. And that you brought up again this, how you ask yourself this question. I had actually wanted to ask about that earlier. You said that that's another way that you connect to your guides and, you know, those that you consider your star family. Are there any other, and this is actually a common theme with a lot of our guests that are connected to another realm, this idea of asking questions. So asking, besides asking about your high, is this my highest self? And do you ask anything else in particular, or is it different every time?
With regard to
when you said that earlier that you ask questions whenever you're connecting to your guides, like anytime you're making a decision, or that they speak to you kind of in question and answer in your head, like when you're talking to your alien family or things like that, are there specific questions that you ask them to get advice? Or maybe my question isn't making sense. Sorry.
No. I only ask this one question now, which is, does this serve my highest good? That's the only question. And also, I only ask my higher self this question. Yeah, it just, for me, when it comes, because this is my life, right? And that's the other thing, is my guides, they know not to interfere, right? They understand this is my journey. This is my evolution. You know, there is no should, and you should do this or you shouldn't do this. Like, they know not to, you know, get in my way. And so also, yeah, I try not to lean on them again. You know, then what's the point of playing this game if I always get answers from someone else? Then I'm not really doing the work, right? So I tend not to. It's just only certain times, say, for instance, I need certain healing. Then I will say, I will ask my star family, I will ask my angelic team to say, you know, please heal and restore my body, you know, back to its original, you know, to balance and, you know, healthy state. But I ask them to step in at the end. But other than that, I don't really ask them anything.
Yeah, that's also very common with most healing practices. And I know you had described to us when we were chatting before a little bit about how you've done some self-healing and healing with others, which actually sounded a lot like Reiki. Would you mind just telling us how Reiki is accessed and used? Would you mind just sharing with us a little bit about how that experience happened, like you did before the show?
Sure. Well, first of all, actually, you know, now that you brought up Reiki, you know, Reiki is actually an Arcturian technology. It's actually what the Arcturians use for, you know, for their own healing. And Arcturians live for millions of years, you know, a very, very long lifespan. And So for me, it was actually in college that one day I just discovered I could heal myself using my left hand, you know, when I had like a stomach ache or something. And then, but it didn't, nothing will happen when I use my right hand. It was only my left hand. When I put my left hand over the problem area, if there really is an issue, then that body part will become really warm. And then my hand will start to hurt. You know, it's this really interesting sensation I can't describe. And it's kind of a pain, but also like a numbing sensation. And then maybe after a minute or two, I will have to just shake it off, you know, when it gets too intense. And then when that sensation disappears, I can put my hand back on, you know, say my stomach again, until the issue disappears. And usually it just takes a couple minutes, then it's gone, right? And, you know, so I discovered this, and then like it worked, but I still didn't really believe it because I didn't have there's no science behind it. I'm like, what is this? Right. And then I would start telling some of my friends about it kind of jokingly. And they're like, oh yeah, my shoulder hurts or my neck hurts. Try. I'm like, sure. I'll just put my hand on it. And then it works. Right. And then they're like, oh my God, the pain is gone. And I'm like, yeah, and my hand hurts. So, you know, after years of this, it's like, okay, I think this is something I can do. I don't know what it is, how it works, you know, but that's fine. And then really it was until this year, just a few months ago, I was in Austin, Texas. I met this amazing healer and she's, you know, and she was experiencing this pain that she could not cure herself. So we met and I told her about this ability of mine. I was like, if you don't mind, I'll just try it on you. She's like, sure, I trust you. And so I just put my hand over her stomach or her abdomen actually. And then right away I felt this pain in my hand, and then her face was like, she's like, oh wow, I see what's happening. I was like, what's happening? She's like, I see the stream of white light that's just like coming down your crown chakra, and this light just goes through the left side of your body and throughout, you know, through your arm, and it comes out of your hand. And she's like, and it's an intelligence, and this intelligence is now communicating with my body. And then, and she's just like speaking through this whole thing as it was happening. And she's like, and then she's like, okay, oh, I see what it is. It's this childhood trauma that was stored in here, and boom. And then it just came out. She's like, oh my God, you just like, it came out of me and it went into your hand. And that was it. And then that pain just completely went away for her. Right. And, but it actually hurt me for a few hours, but finally I was able to get it out. And she also asked me, she's like, well, does this pain or do these things, do they travel in your body? I was like, fortunately, they don't. They always just stick in my, they just stay in my hand, and then I'm able to shake them off. Or maybe I touch a tree or touch the ground and just, you know, they leave that way. And that's also when I learned a couple of years ago through, you know, talking to my star families that, you know, I have this implant in my left wrist. And it's this thing right here. Some people can see it. There's one person when I showed it to her, she was one like, whoa. I was like, what happened? She's like, that thing, your wrist, this implant, it's like a lifesaver. So I guess this thing is what's like keeping it. Like, so whenever I do work on people, this thing, they don't travel. They just stay in my hand and they're able to transmute it or something. So again, I don't know how these things work. They just do.
So I'm just, so you described a lot of it as like, that was sounded like emotional pain. And I I don't think any of us question that we manifest our emotional stuff into our body. Have you done any healing with anyone that had anything like diagnosable, like put your hand on someone who had cancer and now they don't have cancer anymore or something that, right? Like something to that degree where it wasn't just like, oh, my neck hurts and now it feels better, but somebody went to a doctor, got a diagnosis, you touched them and then, you know, they're better.
I've not done that. Again, like this is not something, you know, I'm not doing this as a profession or anything, you know, it's more just for myself. And if I'm with friends and they're like, oh, I'm experiencing this issue. And I was like, okay, let me try it. And sometimes it really depends on the issue that you have. You know, it may take multiple sessions. And even on myself, I've had issues where it's not just within minutes, it will be gone. Like I would just put my hand over whatever area for a few days, but only like, you know, minutes at a time and then multiple sessions. And then I'm able to get rid of it. Depends on the severity and depends on the issue, I guess. But I've never, you know, go, okay, you have cancer here, let me try this. Yeah. Honestly, because I still don't know how this works. I don't, you know, there's certain things I'm like, well, I don't know what it's going to do to me. Right. So,
so it doesn't feel like you have a responsibility or anything to use this, like for, it's like a, I'm thinking like it's like a superpower. Do you have to use it for good? Or can you just not use it?
For good.
Can you like not use it?
It sounds like, I know you said that Reiki was an Arcturian healing modality. I know that it was, you know, obviously claimed by the Japanese at one point. But I know that it was also talked about in many other cultures and civilizations before that. Although there isn't a ton of information. And some people have been known, like I've actually heard of it before, that people have kind of spontaneously accessed that energy and different types of, you know, Reiki isn't the only, you know, I think it's a universal energy, but it's called many different things. There's quantum healing. There's so many different, and like we're interviewing all types of different healers that kind of talk about the same, they're accessing a very similar thing, which, you know, who knows exactly what this energy is, but it's really cool. I think that there's different ways to access it and that it maybe came spontaneously to you. But you might consider actually taking some kind of course or something, because there's important things with maintaining your own boundaries with energy when you're doing that type of healing and protecting yourself and not crossing boundaries with another person and keeping, you know, being able to release it and not have it hurt or harm you. Have you ever thought about it? Because sounds like you do have a natural knack for this type of work and work in other.
I thought about it, but then I just stopped there. And I talked to a lot of my friends in, you know, the States, and, you know, I every morning, you know, every day I have a 4-hour morning practice, actually. That's my daily routine. And I do a lot of self-protection, self-healing, you know, various things, you know, you know, meditation, yoga, qigong, you know, gratitude, intention setting, you know, just, you know, a lot of things I do. So I do protect myself every day, you know, when I wake up and before I go to sleep, you know, I do work with certain, you know, ascended masters or angelic, you know, entities on these things. And so far it's working, but I just follow my heart. I feel there's some point like, oh, I really want to learn this. I want to. Then I would definitely go do it, you know, and so far it hasn't really shown up yet. So I'm just trusting the process. But in terms of earlier, when I mentioned, I guess I didn't tell the whole story, but in terms of Reiki and where it came from, and it just, you know, from what I was shown, it was actually this Arcturian ship. So you probably know Reiki itself originated from this place outside of Kyoto in Japan called, I think it's a mountain called Mount Kurama, I believe. And it was this monk who was meditating at the top of this mountain. He was the first one. So what happened, as I understand, as I was told, was that this Arcturian ship actually showed up and it actually beamed this energy to him. So he was the first receiver of the Reiki energy. And then he started using that. And so that's why I said what I said. But I agree, there's many other, you know, modalities that are very similar, like quantum healing, you know, like beta healing, or, you know, it's just, again, everything is just energy.
Is there anything else you feel like you want to, you know, share about this journey for you that you think would be valuable to the audience?
Ooh, I wouldn't even know where to start. I mean, I think it's better if you ask me certain questions or anything you want to know. There are too many stories for me.
Well, I would love to hear, just as we're kind of getting towards wrapping up, what are the ways that you raise your frequency? How are you, what are your personal practice? When you talked about your 4-hour morning routine, that sounds extensive. But what are the things that you're doing ongoing to keep yourself at this higher state of existence and this higher level, higher frequency?
Well, one, I just, I follow my highest joy and my highest excitement, right? And when things happen, right, occasionally you get maybe like, you know, that moment you get upset or it throws you off, but then right away I just go, okay, it's not a big deal, right? Like this external thing happened, but what matters is really how I respond to it, right? And it just look at it like, it's not a big deal. You know, just get yourself back on your horse again. And really my morning practice, my morning routine really sets me up for, you know, I would say for success each day, right? Because that's like my non-negotiable. And it didn't start out to be like 4 hours. It developed into this thing. And I realized with these spiritual practices, they're just ever evolving and changing. You know, and right now it's 4 hours, but who knows, maybe next year this time it's only 30 minutes or just an hour, right? I feel like, oh, I want to do this now, then I just do it, right? Like, you know, for a while I would do awe meditation every morning for 20 minutes, right? And then one day I stopped. So that saved me 20 minutes. So once I stopped doing the 20 minute awe meditation, like, okay, I just kind of go with the flow.
I love the ebb and flow of your, like that, how you just explained that as your practice. I think we get so conditioned in the society that we're in that if we have to do a practice, we have to do it today and we have to do it forever and we can never stop and never adapt, instead of like nothing in nature is actually like that, right? Nature has seasons, things change, evolve. And I was somebody who went through that for a long time where, hey, this is my practice. I have to do it every day and it's like bad if I miss it.
I'm a believer, just do what serves you until it no longer serves you, right? And you know when it doesn't serve you anymore, right? Yeah. I mean, I've been doing Wim Hof every morning for the past 2.5 years, every morning. But I can also see maybe one day I go, I don't need this anymore. Then maybe I'll stop.
Yeah, I think that's a great lesson for listeners. Like, hey, just pay attention. Is it still serving you to do that thing? Maybe there's a new thing that actually would serve you in this season of your life and where you're headed now. Thank you so much. You came on this show and like we said, you brought a really personal journey, which has been everybody who's been on the show has brought personal journeys, but their journeys also intersect with their business. And you really just brought your personal journey, of how you see energy, how you see spirituality, how you're helping people in your life, and a really just fascinating, the story about your connection with, you know, beings from extraterrestrial beings and from other planets and whatnot. So just thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this has been another episode of The Frequency Shifters, and thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Frequency Shifters. We really hope that you got some value, you learned something, and that there's something from this episode that you can take away and use in your life. Who are you thinking of right now that needs to hear this episode? Please share it with them. Share this on social media, subscribe and like and leave a comment. And please, if you have a comment or an idea or something that you want us to talk about or investigate, leave it online and we will go into those and bring you that information. Please like, share, and subscribe, and we will see you next time.